Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The Bible reading today is taken from Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and can be found on page 1441 of the Church Bibles. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
So this morning we're beginning a new series on Jonah. That's not the series though, right? There's a couple of slides and that was the wrong one. There we go. I'm just going to leave it up there because it was funny and I don't want to spoil the rest yet. So Jonah, a whale of the guy. There we go, I set myself up. I don't even think it was a whale. See, the story says it's a big fish. It's about trusting in God's mercy, this series. We're going to unpack it over 5 weeks. We're just looking at the first three verses of Jonah this week, and then over the weeks of January, we're going to unpack Jonah a little bit more. So, let me start again. For us, this year to come, in the year to come for us as people, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you, the year to come is going to be a year of defining moments. Moments where you have opportunities to choose and make decisions that are going to affect your next 5 or 10 years' time. This year is going to be a year where we see change. We've seen change in the last year. That's a gathering together kind of change. In the year to come, we're going to see a moving forward, stretching out, stepping out kind of change in us as a whole and in us as individuals. So what does that mean? I spent a few weeks away, and I spent in that time, I cornered off 48 hours for myself to just head away. I headed down the Great Ocean Road. There's a nice hiking track down there, and I wanted to spend a few days just disconnected from technology. This is where I sat, and I had lunch. And this is the view that I was looking at as I sat down and I had lunch. And I'd planned this hike of a couple of days, a big loop, and when I got down there, realized that the Lord actually had a different plan for that time. And it was actually not so much me covering distance on my feet, but more about me covering distance in my relationship with Him. And I'd already done a lot of pre-planning, pre-packing for hiking months before. Probably about July or August, I bought a whole bunch of stuff, even food, so that when I knew I could get that couple of days away, I could just quickly drop, grab the box of hiking stuff, chuck it in the back of the car, and go. And so as I sat down and had lunch at this table, this is the food that I pulled out of my bag. Can you read it? Seeds of change. And right in that moment, I'm like, oh God, this is a setup. Can't believe I'm sitting here, and I hadn't even looked at what was in my bag. I just chucked it in the backpack, and what I pulled out was seeds of change. on the back, it said, give it a grow. Oh, Lord, I feel like I've done enough growing. I feel like I've moved enough. I feel like I've hit enough challenges. I feel like I've said yes to you lots of times and been willing to wear the cost of that in lots of ways. And I know for many of you, you've done that. But what happens when we show ourselves to be faithful with the things that God has given us? He gives us more. Think of the parable of the talents. you go and you use those talents and you come back to the Lord and say, this is what I produced with what you gave me. And he goes, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to now give you more responsibility. And so then he goes and he puts the people over not just talents, but cities. More responsibility. Give it a go. To take on more responsibility, you actually need to step up and you need to grow up. It means your capacity needs to be expanded. And here I was just kind of wanting to enjoy a view and relax a little. And the Lord was pushing and challenging on that area of growth. In the parable of the talents, it kind of gives two options. One is you're faithful and you're a good servant and you multiply what the Lord has given you. Or you've been unfaithful, you've just kind of hidden away in the sand what it is that he's given you, and he takes away what you have. They're the two options. So the option is embrace the seeds of change. When I think about change, I'm someone that says yes to change. I'm willing to step out and say yes. But is the yes that we give the Lord a full yes? See, I'll always say yes to the Lord, and I will give it a go. But will I say the full yes? Will I be willing to fully commit to what it is that Lord's put in front of me? And some of these questions you're asking, what should I be doing? What should I be investing in? Will you give your God your full yes? So Jonah, here's a better slide. Jonah is faced with this challenge. Now this isn't my first Jonah rodeo. I've preached on Jonah a number of times before. The first time I ever preached was on Jonah. It was actually an amazing moment. I only preached at one particular service at a church that I was at. And at that evening service, the numbers were usually sort of 30 or 40, a typical sort of evening service. That night, as I preached, I got up. And as I looked out, I hadn't told anyone that I was going to preach. There was 90 or about 100 people there. People that I've worked with that had heard that I'd been called into ministry had come and just thought, oh, I'll just visit on that day. That for me was a defining moment of starting a new season in life. The last time I preached on Jonah was actually one of the last sermons that I gave at my previous church. So I don't know what God's got on Jonah, but this morning we're talking about Jonah. Jonah was around at a time maybe some 700 years before Jesus. He was at a time when Jeroboam the second was king over Israel. He was charged with a mission of expanding the borders of Israel. Jonah was a prophet. Now, a prophet has this representative responsibility of actually speaking what is the will of God. And so Jonah had this responsibility and he was given this call. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness has come up before me. In Nahum, it says about Nineveh, woe to the city of blood, full of lies, a plunderer, never without victims. Jonah was a faithful Israelite. He was now called to go and preach to his enemy. Now, to tell them they were wicked, I don't think he would have had a problem with that. His problem was he knew the God that he worshipped. Because when God sent him on a mission to tell a bunch of people that they were wicked, God's not in the business of just telling people off because he wants them to be punished. Actually, God seeks redemption. God seeks reconciliation. And so when Jonah knew that he was being sent to Nineveh, he was being sent to the enemies of his people to preach a message of reconciliation, that they would turn away from worshipping Ishtar, the goddess of love and war, and turn to the one living God. And he knew that if he preached that message, that as he was anointed by God, that they would actually turn and repent and that God would have mercy against his enemies. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you like going to your enemies and seeking reconciliation. Going to the people that hate you, that you have been taught to hate, and seeking reconciliation. Maybe you haven't caused the wars. Maybe you haven't caused the problems. I don't know if you like being the representative of reconciliation, but this is what Jonah is called to. Now, this is a call to all of us. It's not new to us as Christians because we've heard Jesus' words. It's easy to love friends, but I call you to love enemies. And so the Jonah call is a call for all of us. It's a call that we're challenged to. Jonah, on the other hand, he, here in Israel, was called to go up to Nineveh and preach this message. And he took flight the opposite way. Conveniently, there was a ship ready to float away to Tarshish. And so for him, it was really easy to just run the opposite direction. Jonah went west instead of northeast. Now, I've got experience in this. I went to Thailand and Cambodia and Nepal a number of years back, and as part of that trip, I had planned to go up to Chiang Mai, and this plan had sort of come about because I'd said, look, God, I don't want just a holiday over these few months. I want to do some things to serve you. And so a missionary had come and preached at the church that I was at, and I'd spoken to the missionary because they had a connection into Thailand about whether there was some way in which I could serve in this time over there. And through this connection, they said, well, up in Chiang Mai, there's this drug rehabilitation center. We'd love you to go along, and you can teach English there. It'll be a great experience, and you'll really be able to sow into those people. And I thought, oh, well, this is a really good experience. God, you've answered my prayer. I'm going to go and do this. Well, I found myself a few days before I was meant to be there in Cambodia, catching up with some friends who were missionaries there, had a great church experience after over a month of not having connected with Christians. And as I'm having this great church experience with them, they say, oh, we're going down to the beach for a weekend. Would you love to come with us? I thought, oh, it's just a weekend. What would it matter? And so instead of going northwest, I went southwest down to the beach outside Phnom Penh, and it was a beautiful beach. It's picturesque, the water was nice, we stayed in this accommodation right on the beach, the food was cheap, the mangoes were delicious. It was amazing. And then as I went to sleep that night, I couldn't really sleep, I got a few hours sleep, and as I hopped up the next morning, I knew something was wrong. I knew I wasn't where I was meant to be. And so I was down at the beach and I was sitting out on a rock in amongst the water. It was 6 a.m. in the morning, but the water was warm. And as I sat there, the Lord convicted me that actually where I was meant to be was serving Him up in Chiang Mai, and where I was serving myself down at the beach. I was stuck there for an extra 2 days. So when I got back to Phnom Penh, instead of catching a train and a bus, which I planned to get to Chiang Mai, I jumped on a plane, shot up to Chiang Mai, and arrived there. And there's a whole other story around how I actually got to the drug rehabilitation center, because it turns out my contact went on leave. But when I got there, there was no one else there, and I had a week there, and I had a week with no one else speaking English. I called up my parents when I was there, and we had a short conversation. I was wanting them to keep going, and they said, all right, got to go now. I was paying for the phone, but they're like, okay, we should go. I'm like, no, you could stay on a little bit longer, because there was no one that spoke English. And what happened is I found out that the day before I left, a group of English-speaking Korean missionaries had just left themselves. And they've been there and they've been enjoying a week of worshipping the Lord and teaching and investing into this community as well. And I missed them because I chose what I wanted and what I thought would actually satisfy me. Did you give the Lord your full yes? When you're challenged, how do you respond? Who's someone that tends to run from challenge? Anyone? Who's someone that will face a challenge? Yeah, you may not want to admit it, but We have typical responses when we're faced with challenges. Where it comes from, different for all of us. For some of us, we fear failure. We fear what other people might think of us. We aren't confident in our own ability to fulfill what God's called us to do. For some of us, we'll run the opposite direction. For most of us, when we're really challenged to step up, when these defining opportunities where we get to make decisions happen, for most of us, it can look a little bit like this. It's probably a tub of ice cream, a block of chocolate. God's called you to step up. God's called you to make costly choices, but we find ourselves on the couch, self-medicating with chocolate and ice cream. Another way that I think we escape kind of looks a little like this. Escape into these days, the online world, there's that glow of the screen. Escape into a reality that's not the reality just in front of us. I'm tempted to do that. I easily can seek to, you know, run away into computer games, run away into sport, run away into going to the gym, run away into anything else but what the Lord's calling me to. I'm faced with this challenge. What do you do when you're faced with a challenge to make a decision of faithfulness to follow the Lord? Do you hide? Do you run? Do you escape? Where do you go? What do you do? Because the Lord is saying, I'm there. Psalm 139, where can I flee from the presence of the Lord? Wherever I go, you are there. Jonah had this opportunity a little bit further on, and we'll get on to talking about that next week. Jonah had this opportunity to turn from running, and he kept running. When are we in our hearts going to stop running from what the Lord calls us to do? When are we in our hearts going to stop running from who the Lord calls us to be? See, in every age, in every stage of life, the Lord has purposes for us. There's no retirement plan in the kingdom of God. The retirement plan is eternity. It's not here and now. So what's God's purpose for us in this season? How are we embracing it? How are we wholeheartedly running towards it? The reality for all of us is the things the Lord calls us to have real fears associated with them. There's real consequences to making decisions. I was struck this week when I read about one of the Thai Navy SEALs, how a year later, following that dramatic cave rescue, he's actually died from a blood infection that he received whilst doing the rescue. That was costly for him. He didn't know that that was going to be an outcome of making that choice. But when we live for the now, when we live to meet our feelings, our emotions, our needs now, we'll seek eternity now. Now, this is an art installation that was done at the Bass Museum of Art near Miami Beach. And it was actually done at a time where this museum was under renovation. The eternity now, like an open sign, but you couldn't actually go in. But that's our temptation, to make for ourselves an eternity that starts now, isn't it? To build for ourselves a world that satisfies us now. See, we can give in to the potential fears of what could happen, the things that make us anxious, and pursue our eternal rest now, our eternal joy, our eternal hope being fulfilled now. When I hit fear, emotions become the dominant narrative of my thought life. When I hit fear, the questions, am I good enough? Can I do it? Is it possible? Reverberate in my mind. I've heard the phrase from people, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I'm just going to call it out. It's a lie. God actually regularly gives us more than we can handle, because he wants to partner with us in fulfilling his mission on the earth. And his strength is required for us to be who we're called to be and to do what we're called to do. If you can do what you're doing in your own strength, maybe hope is missing. Maybe trust is missing. But for each of us, there's opportunities. For each of us in the year to come, there's defining moments where we're going to need to choose the Lord's path, the Lord's call. What is that moment for you? Is there something that you know that's sitting there already? Maybe there's something that's yet to come. But I'm confident for all of you, there is going to be those defining moments where you are going to make a choice that is going to affect your years to come in the year to come. So what choice are you going to make? Are you going to hide? Are you going to run? Are you going to escape? Or are you going to make that choice of pursuing what the Lord has for you? As we think about that, I would love to pray. And for each of you, it's different. What are the decisions that are coming up? What are the challenges that are coming up? What are the opportunities that are coming up? For each of you, this is different. I'm going to pray, and I would like you, in a moment of silence that I'm going to give you, to bring those things before the Lord and say, this, Lord, is what I feel is a challenge. This is an opportunity. This is where you're calling me to be. This is what you're calling me to do in the year to come. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know what it is that the Lord's calling you to. Well, the first thing he calls us to, and so you have an opportunity in a moment to be praying, the first thing the Lord calls us to is to step up into our identity as Christians, to step up into that image of Jesus, and then to project that image of Jesus as a light into the world. So if you don't know what you're called to do, if you don't know what these defining moments are, let me give it to you. In the year to come, the Lord is going to give you defining moments of faith where you get to step into the identity of Jesus at a new level with new authority and new gifting. Are you going to take it? Now, your identity in Jesus is represented in your workplace, in your family, in your retirement, in your parenting, in your marriage. How are you going to step up and be Jesus in those places? So if you didn't have something, you should now have something. Let me pray for us. And in the silence, I would love you to seek the one who is there and present and wants to give you strength for those opportunities. So Lord, you know what's on our heart. You know what is written in our book. Lord, you know what is ahead of us. And you know where we are in our emotions and our thoughts in preparing for that. Lord, we submit to you our plans and our ideas and our thoughts on our direction. When we're pursuing the beach, or we're pursuing our comfort, or we're pursuing our own path, we ask, Lord, that you bring your Holy Spirit to bring conviction. Lord, where we're pursuing purpose and identity, Lord, give us the conviction of how we can pursue. So just in the silence, I want you to talk to the Lord about what he's laying on your heart. Talk to him about how he's shaping you to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, help us to be a people that are willing to bear the cost of following you. Lord, meet us in that place of seeking you. Lord, you're with us. Whisper to us. Strengthen us. Refresh us. Renew us. Redirect us. Open our minds, Lord, where they've been closed to new possibilities. Open our eyes to see moments as you see them, to see decisions as you see them, to have that sight as you have sight, Lord, that can look at the now and see the future. Help us to look at the now and see the future. Give us breakthrough in our thinking, breakthrough in our resilience, breakthrough in our strength. In the name of Jesus, amen. Just before we get into singing, I want to share a couple of stories with you. And one of the stories I can share, and we'll go on the recording, another story I won't, just in case it'll be anonymous, just in case it gets back to the person. I don't want them to feel that it's about them, because it's not about them. So one story is related to my grandma, who's now since passed on. She became a Christian under Franklin Graham when he came out and did a festival, I think at the start of the 2000s. So she became a Christian then. She'd gone to church all her life, but until then never knew that you could have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, part of the calling on her life was the calling of an evangelist. Her name actually happened to be Ellie, which is the name of our youngest daughter. So she was about that high, my nana. And I don't know where my height came from, because my grandpa was about that high. So Ellie, about that high, was called to be an evangelist. And I saw it ignited. As soon as she came to faith, it was out. My cousins, everyone, she wanted to tell about Jesus. But something had happened in her life a number of years before. My grandpa had fallen and he tripped on the side of a road. And one of their neighbors, who was Jewish, had seen that happen. But it was the Sabbath. And because it was the Sabbath, he wasn't going to go over there and he wasn't going to go and help him up. Now, he lay there in that gutter until she and others found him and was able to get him up. Now, for her, there was this opportunity to embrace Jesus' call for forgiveness. She never actually got to that point of being able to forgive. Now, for her, I think her Jonah call was to be a witness and an evangelist, particularly to the Jewish people. But the choice of forgiveness is sometimes so difficult that we run from it. That's one moment. Another person I know, there was a defining moment opportunity for them to choose the path of humility. For my nana, and I don't judge her for the decision she made. One of the reasons why Ellie has the name Ellie is because I think she's going to take up some of that calling to be an evangelist. I don't judge the decision she's made, because others will step into the place to embrace the opportunity, but allowing unforgiveness to get in the way of our purpose means that we don't receive the breakthrough of joy that the Lord has prepared for us as we reap his harvest. So in the year to come, what are your defining moments? Where are you going to need to turn to the Lord to find strength? Where do you need courage to make decisions that are costly? Where do you need hope and faith to take steps where you don't see the next step beyond that step? I don't know. It's going to be different for each of you. If you're wanting to talk about it, if you're wanting to pray about it, Megan, who's away this week, is back next week. I'm away the week after. we'd love to chat to you and pray with you and help you on that journey. We'd love you to chat to each other and help each other and walk with each other on that journey, because the Lord's got good things prepared for us. And this year to come, the Lord is calling us to step into them together.